Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now is Jason Colleray from the Space Science Institute. He's going to be a part of a NOVA program following the eclipse. And Jason, thanks so much for being with us today on Innovation.
Thank you for having me.
So I've seen bits and pieces of part of the NOVA program that's ready, but I think part of the unique thing to say of what's going to happen is it's going to be filmed and edited all in the same day.
Yeah, that's right. This is an amazing opportunity, something new for NOVA, in fact, where we're mixing footage of pre-recorded interviews with world scientists about the solar eclipse and what we're hoping to learn from the solar eclipse and just the incredible awe that it represents with actual footage from August 21st across the country where the public is witnessing this in real time. And so I'll be at a location in Idaho Falls working with Miles O'Brien. And we'll be talking to people, interviewing people, and showing real footage of the eclipse. And then they're going to splice that into the film and air it that evening. So it's incredibly challenging.
Now, the fascinating part of the research that scientists are most interested in is that moment when there's the total eclipse and the corona comes to full view. That's what scientists are getting really excited about?
Yeah, that's one of the things. So I think first it's just incredibly exciting to see an eclipse because it's a very rare and precious event. And so even for scientists, I've never seen a solar eclipse, for example. So first and foremost, I just want to witness this amazing opportunity. And so it's incredibly special and rare. It's sort of temporarily we see this break in the most basic cycle of day-night that we take for granted, right? All of a sudden, the sky is going to turn dark. The stars are going to come out. It's going to get a little bit colder. And it's just something that that we've never experienced. And it's very rare as well. Partial solar eclipses happen frequently several times a year, but total solar eclipses are rare. And then even when they do happen, the shadow of the moon often lands in some part of the Earth where there's little population. And so the last total solar eclipse that was visible from the United States was when I was 1 year old in 1979. And even that one just cut across a small region in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. And so this one that we have coming up in 10 days cuts right across the entire country, which is incredibly special. But the corona is a remarkably mysterious component of the sun. The discovery of the corona actually goes back a few thousand years when the ancient Chinese witnessed a solar eclipse and they saw what they called a new star. They saw this crown surrounding the sun that was lit up when the sun disappeared. And we've been struggling to understand what the corona is since then. And one of the things that makes it intriguing is the temperature of the corona. So it's millions of degrees in temperature, which is hundreds of times hotter than the surface of the sun. And so normally, if you have a light bulb or something, if you're close to that light bulb, it's really hot. And as you move away, it becomes colder. But with the sun, it's almost the opposite that's happening, that as you move out into this atmosphere of the sun, the atmosphere is even hotter than the surface of the sun. And so the reason for that is not currently known, but there's a couple of theories like wave heating and nano flares. And during a solar eclipse, we get to witness the structure of the corona and try and test some of those theories.
And describe what kind of tests are going to be done during this eclipse? I mean, is it an image? Is it measurements? I mean, exactly how can science happen by watching this total eclipse?
So there's all sorts of science experiments that are going to be happening across the country. There are going to be, in fact, people chasing the eclipse and balloons launched to high altitudes to observe it above the atmosphere. And so, for example, there are experiments occurring so one of the things that will happen during the solar eclipse is that you'll begin to see stars and the planets in our solar system that are near the sun because all of a sudden you've blocked out the light from the sun itself. And so there are people that are going to be making thermal maps of the planet Mercury on its night side. And even there are some experiments to measure the properties of Mercury's soil. There are other experiments where bacteria is going to be taken up into our atmosphere to sort of mimic a Mars-like condition in terms of the temperature and the density of the atmosphere in high-altitude balloons and see how those bacteria react to those conditions. You mentioned the corona. The structure of the corona reveals information on sunspots and surface features of the sun. And so during a solar eclipse, we can take incredibly high-resolution imaging observations from Earth and from balloons to measure that structure and see how it's changing over time and sort of compare it to past images of the sun. There are also going to be balloons launched through the path of totality of the eclipse to learn about the response of our atmosphere to a rapid, lack of light and heat that happens all of a sudden during a solar eclipse. So there's a whole slew of science experiments, and it's very exciting as a scientist because it's kind of like this two-minute window, you know, to obtain data that you could not otherwise get.
And then you're able to use that data, you know, later, those images later. I'm just, you know, technology is so different than it was in 1979. So is this really the first chance for a lot of scientists to get that data?
For the corona of the sun, yeah, that's true. I mean, what happens is whenever there's a solar eclipse that can be viewed from somewhere on Earth where we have infrastructure, where people live, then, you know, scientists chase it, right? And so scientists that are studying the sun, they go there and they launch, you know, they use these telescopes. So science is international. In that respect, you know, the eclipse being in the U.S. is helpful because we have a huge science community here in the U.S., a heliophysicist, but that's not necessary. We can always travel to where the eclipse is. But, you know, the sun is, the sun is a star. It's the heartbeat of our solar system. It's 99.9% of the mass of our solar system. And understanding how the sun works and functions is incredibly important to the eventual end fate of our solar system, as well as life on Earth. And there are many aspects to the sun, such as the core of the sun, where the nuclear fusion reactions are happening that generate all of its heat and energy and light, the radiative zone, the convective zone. There are many aspects of the sun that we feel like we understand well, and we have a good model, and we can look at other stars like the sun and test those models. But the corona remains one of the components of the sun that's very elusive. It's very difficult to study because, it's about a trillion times less dense than the surface of the sun, so we can't see it even though it's much hotter than the surface of the sun. And so any data that we collect on the corona is incredibly special and rare.
Now, we have a listener question wanting to know, you know, what's going to happen with all of these experiments if the weather doesn't cooperate from where you're based?
That's a great question. So we try to be very strategic, right? So we know what the average weather conditions are in different parts of the country across the path of totality. And so the eclipse is going to take about 90 minutes cutting through the U.S., starting near Portland and ending in South Carolina. And so there are weather maps for all of those regions, and a lot of the experiments are designed to be launched from places where we know that the weather is going to be good. For example, the location that I'm at, the chance of cloud cover is just 10%. So we have a 90% probability of having a clear day. Also, you can mitigate against some of those risks by using these balloons, right? So these balloons are very high up in the atmosphere, essentially above the clouds. And so even if there are clouds or rain, the balloons will not be affected by that. And so we have ways to mitigate that, but we're all hoping for clear skies.
And I'm wondering what if you're going to be, you know, looking up, looking at the data, watching your computer. What are your actual plans and goals during the moment?
No, I think that's the biggest mistake we can make, right? Even as scientists, if we try to overthink this and try and sort of have a million things in our mind that we're trying to see during the eclipse, then we really just squander the opportunity. And so. So I don't recommend people take their phones out or anything and take pictures of it. You know, just like everybody else, I think scientists are going to be trying to use the 2.5 minutes or maximum 2.5 minutes to observe this wonderful event with our eyes. And of course, if you're in the path of totality, then during the total solar eclipse, when the full disk of the sun is occulted by the moon, you don't have to use eclipse glasses. You can stare directly at it. But of course, you can't do that at any time that the moon is only partially covering the sun. During those times, you have to use the glasses. So I'm actually going to be at this location with Miles O'Brien and PBS Nova, but I'm taking my daughters with me, two of my kids. And during that, I'm going to be looking at the sun.
Now, there's also a Facebook Live moment as well that you're going to be a part of.
Yeah, so this should be a lot of fun. So it's going to be pretty. It's going to be unscripted, but it's basically Miles and I talking about the solar eclipse and interviewing people, talking to kids. We're going to be linking to other locations if we can, and just taking audience questions also through Facebook from around the world that people send in, and trying to answer them and just enrich the experience for everybody watching the eclipse.
And your message for kids who are watching this for the first time?
Well, I think it's really is an incredible opportunity. Make sure you check it out and don't miss it. I think you'll regret it. I've never had a chance in my life to see a solar eclipse. I wish I had, and so that's why I'm taking my kids as well during this one. And I think you want to be safe, and you want to enjoy it, as much as you can. Remember not to look up at the sun during any time unless you're in the path of totality, and the sun is completely blocked out from the moon. And in fact, I'll just mention that for South Dakota, I think the eclipse is going to start around 11:40 a.m. in your local time. Mm-hmm. And in South Dakota, I think about 90% of the disk of the sun should be occulted by the moon. And it'll take about 20 minutes to cross through the state, so starting in the west around 11:40 and then ending in the east around noon. But if you have an opportunity, try and encourage your parents to travel just slightly south to Nebraska or Wyoming. And then you can be in the path of totality, and you'll be able to look at the sun without the glasses when the sun is fully occulted by the moon.
Jason, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure.
Jason Kalerai is a multi-mission project scientist with Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore, Maryland. And NOVA's Eclipse Over America premieres Monday night, August 21st at 8 p.m. Central Time on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Also, during the eclipse, NOVA will present a Facebook Live event in partnership with PBS NewsHour. It's hosted by PBS science correspondent Miles O'Brien, and the event will feature commentary by Jason Kalerai from the Space Science Institute and other experts gathered to watch the eclipse from a location about 40 miles east of Irwin, Idaho. Additional details will be released via NOVA social media channels closer to August 21st.